Good morning. The Lord bless each one of you. As Joshua was sharing these things up here, the things that are ours and the things that are God's, let's make these things ours this morning. Let's do that. I want to pick out one of these here just in a moment. Before we do that, let's kneel for prayer together. Our Heavenly Father, we need You this morning. Lord, I need You here in this hour. Lord, unless You speak to Your people, how can we be fed? Father, would You give us Your blessings? Lord, as we look into Your Word, as we see the things that I believe You've laid upon my heart, I pray that things could be shared clearly and understandably. Lord, and I just pray, would You bless Your people here? Guide us all, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. The one I want to look at here is kingdom. I'll erase that for right now. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, it says, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people." There was some kingdom teaching going on. In John 18, verse 36, Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, and I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." And His servants were on this earth. The kingdom that He was talking about, I believe, is in heaven, but He was bringing it down here for us to live in that kingdom here this morning. Together, we are His kingdom here on this earth. Okay. I thought I had another one written down right there, but I don't see it now. The kingdom is within you. The kingdom is very much a part of us. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into that kingdom, into the kingdom of heaven," that kingdom, "but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven." The will of the Father is the one that we must do to enter in that kingdom. The kingdom of God is of utmost importance to God's people. We must understand it to enter it. In John chapter 3, verse 5, it says, "For verily," after chapter 3, verse 3, let's begin in that one. "First, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And then a couple of verses later, in John chapter 3, verse 5, he says, "Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom. Neither say, Lo here or Lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." I did have that one there, Luke 17, verse 21. Okay, so let's add a couple of words to this kingdom here. Kingdom work ethics. Now, this is a subject I'm not exactly sure. You could take it a long ways. This could go a lot of different directions, and I feel like it's important to look at it in a balanced way. If we look at just our work, just doing the things that are around us to do, we can get all wrapped up in that, and we can begin making money, we can begin getting covetous. There's so much that can be done around us. I fear it's easier than we think sometimes to get caught up in that thing, just that alone, and working and enjoying our work because of that. So I would like to look at Moses for the first example of a very busy man and what Jethro, his father-in-law, saw and all of that. That's in Exodus chapter 18, if you want to turn there. In verse 17, and Moses' father-in-law said unto him, the thing that thou doest is not good. So the work that he's doing isn't good. I mean, I thought it was a good thing. God called him to it. And, you know, this is really a very important thing. He's leading a million people. Let's look farther and see why he sees that this is not necessarily a good thing that he's doing it. What he's saying is you're doing it all by yourself and it's going to be too much. Verse 18, thou wilt surely wear away both thou and this people that is with thee, for this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. Hearken now unto my voice. I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes to God. Now, you're still the ultimate one that is speaking to God. This is still a very important work that you are continuing to do here. And it says in verse 20 then, and thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and wilt show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do. There's a blessing in doing that in our families. Doing just that. Teaching, showing our children the laws of God, showing our children the work that they must do. Teaching our children how to work in a diligent and careful way is very important. It's something if we don't learn how to be diligent. I used to have, there was a preacher that preached a series of message a number of years ago that I listened to a lot, and he was a crane operator, and he said that if you don't take care of your scoop shovel, it wasn't his crane. Am I doing something wrong? Or has it just turned up there? Wasn't his crane, but he was operating that. He said, if you don't learn to take care of your scoop shovel, God's not going to give you a $2.8 million crane, which is very true. If we're not faithful in that which is least, how can we expect to be faithful in that which is much? You know, I thought of all these things here, the church, the sheep, the flocks, people, children of God, those things. I know that among the congregation, there's the next generation of elders, the next generation of ministers and of missionaries is sitting among us this morning. And if we get a hold of this thing of our work ethics and our physical work, it very much carries over into our spiritual work, the spiritual work of God. I don't know that there's an elder anywhere that hasn't gotten tired of his work at times. He hasn't felt like throwing in the towel after a number of years of work, especially if there's some difficulties that arise. If you, as the next generation of elders, of bishops, are not learning to stick to it in your youth, it'll be very difficult to stay in the ministry, to stay in God's work, whether that be on the mission field, wherever that's at. It's very difficult to keep on doing that work when the going gets tough, when it gets hard to do. It'd be very difficult. Moses, if he had not received that call from God and had learned probably there in that wilderness, taking care of that flock of sheep, he probably learned a lot of things there. I believe he learned a lot of things in the wisdom of Egypt as well. But learning how to take care of that flock of sheep there in that wilderness, he was able to keep at it when the weather wasn't nice, when he didn't really enjoy going out there maybe, when it didn't feel like it. It's the same old thing I've done for years already. I'm ready to do something different. I'm ready to do something else. Well, for 40 years here, he was a leader. And it was a very difficult job that he had there. Okay, let's continue reading on. In Exodus 18, verse 21 now. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, and rulers of hundreds, and rulers of fifties, and rulers of ten. Now, how many able men did it take with 1 million people if you got down to rulers of ten? That's a reasonable ruler in a household, right? The leader in the house is, you know, a family of ten is not a big family. In today's world it is, but I think in those days that would have been a father's responsibility. A ruler of ten would have been a father just guiding his own house. I think that might be what he was saying here. But then there's others. There's rulers of thousands and rulers of hundreds and of fifties. There's a lot of men called to a very important work here in this, and yet they're called to all bring their problems to God, to Moses rather, in this situation. But we are called to bring our problems to God. I think it's a type of that, I think, in this whole thing. So we are all called to answer to God. They answered to Moses in that type, that we should be the ones that are, whether we're a ruler of ten as men, or wherever the Lord has put us, we still are to answer to God. But there is a work. There is something that we have to be qualified to do before we can do it. He says, provide able men. Okay, and this is their job. And let them, in verse 22, let them judge the people at all seasons, and it may be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter shall they judge. So shall it be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee. Let each person take his share of responsibility. Exodus 18, 20, verse 23 now. If thou shalt do this thing, and God command thee so, then shalt thou be able to endure, and all this people shall go to their place in peace. There's going to be some rest. There's going to be some peace. And they're going to make it there. The ultimate goal is going to happen. If you're not so worn out, you end up giving up or throwing in the towel because of it. Seems maybe is some of the concern that he had here. If thou shalt do this thing and God command thee so, then thou shalt be able to endure. And all this people shall also go in their place to their place in peace. So, verse 24, Moses hearkened to the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said. And Moses chose able men out of all of Israel and made them heads over the people, rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And they judged the people at all seasons. The hard causes they brought unto Moses, but every small matter they judged themselves. And Moses let his father-in-law depart, and he went his way to his own land, his father-in-law did. We need those able spiritual men today. The church, the world is in a greater need of them today, or as great a need of them today as it was back then. The need is just as great on the mission field. There's even less able men, it seems, to go there. What am I doing to become all that I can for the Lord? Is a question that I have down here. What am I doing right now to become all that I can to work in the Lord's field, to work in the kingdom work? Our work ethics that we have in our natural life carry over into the spiritual life. If you're, Brother Chris, if you're a barn roofer, and, this barn wasn't built quite square, somebody else's fault, you know, this was really not my fault that this thing isn't going to look just right. I guess I'll just put it on as fast as I can and get it over with. Carefully put it on, make a good-looking roof on that barn. If we're in the shop there at the butcher shop where I work, and there's some down cows that come in sometimes that are very unpleasant. Well, that was part of the beef. They brought it in. Well, it was pretty bloody where they bruised, where they had the hip huggers on the cow to pick the cow up or whatever it was. We carefully trimmed that out, and have a satisfied customer at the end of the day. Things like that count if we're careful with what we do. If we're, what are we doing? What about our driving? That some of us have work in driving. Do people see our driving habits? Do we see our driving habits as we should sometimes? As being able to be a witness, being a witness for the Lord. What about mothers at home? I'm doing the same thing again. The children are, as Brother John was saying, the children are fussing and things are not. Thank you for that, Brother John. I was thinking about that. The children, twice in one evening, I'd say there's probably times, and I know it is in our home, that's more than twice in one evening. Sometimes if there's a little fuss or one day that a fuss arises. Mothers are working. We don't always see exactly what happened. Yet, we do have to decide what can we do? What are we going to do? We're the ruler over the tens, maybe. Judge those simple matters, and yet I think it's important that we listen to what our children have to say sometimes, and we understand why, not just quickly fix the problem and go on, but to listen to what really happened. But just a blessing to mothers in their homes. Sometimes it seems like you're not getting very far. Last Sunday here, there was two different people that came, and one actually talked to my wife as well as to myself. But two different people came and talked to me about, just wanted to bless me for what I was doing, what they see in our home. Well, I guess I don't really see that I'm doing that good a job at it. But praise the Lord, if there's a testimony that is going forth, my wife gets a lot of the credit for that. She's with the children a lot more than I am during the day, teaching school. Yes, mothers, you all have a very important job in the home. It's a good mission field. There is children in that home that are your clients, if you will, for the mission field. Yes, just thinking of the testimony last Sunday that we heard here. What a blessing to have that kind of clear testimony come forth in a congregation of salvation. Though things weren't all perfect, though things weren't all right in the home, yet there was a desire, and there was something that was planted in that child's heart that brought forth some fruit. That is a very important part for mothers, that mothers play in the kingdom. Okay, Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 says, "And whatsoever ye do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ." That's who we're serving. If we do what we do heartily as unto the Lord, it doesn't become a very selfish thing. It's not a very selfish thing anymore. If we're doing everything we do as unto the Lord, whether we're building barns or whether we're driving or whatever we're doing, whatever our work is, we can do things. Driving, I guess I have a little confession on that one. I used to haul metal roofing for quite a while, and the trailers that I pulled didn't have the best trailer brakes on them, and sometimes it was a little hard to get stopped when someone pulled out in front of you or whatever it was. And I've never been one to blow my horn when somebody pulls out or anything. I don't really appreciate it when someone else does it to me. I already know that I made a mistake. You don't have to rub it in. It's kind of the way it seems to me like. And so I try not to do that because of, it seems to kind of vent your frustration. Or to me, it seems like that's what happens when you do that. There is a time to use your horn when somebody doesn't know that you're there or something, but it was quite a number of times pulling a heavy trailer like that people pull out fairly close, and you have to slow down, and you get half a mile up the road and the turn signal comes on and they slow down and turn off again. What kind of testimony are we sharing? What kind of testimony do people see when we show our displeasure at that. People notice things at times that we try to hide. We aren't as good at hiding things sometimes we think we are. But yes, just the testimony of that in our daily work is, if we don't have that kind of attitude, if we're not careful with letting our displeasure show in some of those things, how do we expect that it's going to go when we get in a tight situation in the Lord's work? Is it going to go any better than that? I'm not sure that it will. I'm not too sure that we can do any better unless we start practicing in our everyday life. That's where we're going to, it's where we get our most practice at. Okay, so let's look at the commands that God gave in the Old Testament for work. The laws and the seventh day of rest, the Sabbath rest that we have today. We don't worship the Lord, or we don't serve, don't have the Lord's Day. The Lord's Day is what we observe now rather than the Sabbath, but there is something beautiful in the rest, the Sabbath rest that the Lord has created. Let's look at that. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 9, he says, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. He's talking with the neighbor this past week. He says, people don't understand that anymore. They don't understand that 6 days shalt thou labor. He said he had a neighbor that called him one day and asked him if he could take him to the drugstore to get some sleeping medicine. This was a very healthy young man that just simply couldn't sleep. And he said, I'll tell you what. You come to my house tomorrow, I have some things that need to be done. Let's start at 4 o'clock. We'll start at 4 o'clock in the morning. It's during the summertime. And they started work, and they worked all day in the heat of the day. And that evening he says, hey, you doing anything tomorrow? Well, no, I don't have anything going. Why don't you come again tomorrow? Let's start at 4 o'clock. So they started at 4 o'clock the next morning. And he says, a week or so later, he saw the fellow again. He said, well, how did you sleep? Oh, I said, it wasn't any problem at all. Didn't have to have sleep medicine. That was his story there. I found this kind of interesting. You know, we can sleep, we can rest if we work those 7 days or 6 days as the Lord has commanded. Just a little side note there. I guess I got on a rabbit trail there. Okay, Exodus 23, verse 12 says, 6 days shalt thou do thy work, and on the seventh day thou shalt rest, that thine ox and thine ass may rest, and that the son of the maidservant and the stranger may be refreshed. Genesis 2, verse 1, it says, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And the Lord God, and God blessed the seventh day, and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created. So if we go to Hebrews now and look at that rest, it's a beautiful, beautiful thing there in Hebrews chapter 4. We can turn there, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 4. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, in verse 5, they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not have afterwards spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest for the people of God. For he that is entered into rest, he hath also ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. So there's a laboring to get into the rest of God. There's a better rest. There's more of a rest than what they had on that Sabbath day. I don't claim to understand the whole thing of that rest, but there's a rest that we can have, the peace that we can have because of being in God, being in Christ, and having salvation, that we can rest. If we look at that, I think of it in a natural sense. If we, the way I could wrap my mind around it, maybe in being at rest in the Lord, is in our homes. You know, think of it in a natural sense as knowing that we have the things done that must be done to feed and clothe our family, or to have, you know, if we have taken care of things in our home, and the children don't, they can rest. There's not this turmoil. There's not a lot of, if we just haphazardly go through life and are not careful with thinking out ahead. I don't know how a home would look like that, but it seems like there'd be some turmoil, there'd be some struggles in a home where you just, we don't know what we're doing tomorrow, we don't know what we're going to eat, we've just been kind of careless. Oh yeah, we didn't think about it, that the beds need to be made. There's a lot of different things in a home that if we didn't just put some forethought into it, there could be some turmoil in the home, and it would just create an unrest in the children, and it would there would be no stability in the home. So I think putting some forethought, putting some thought into our lives, and carefully living a life that is pleasing to the Lord is also that can be looked at the same kind of rest. That rest can also be in our lives just by knowing that we have our bases covered. Thought of the story of a young man that was interviewed for a job, and he told the farmer that he was interviewing him. He said, "I can rest at night." "Oh, well, what does that mean? You can rest at night." "Well, anybody can rest at night. You just go to bed and sleep. I can sleep at night," I think is what he said. So he was hired for the job. Some time later, there was a pretty major storm came through that one night, and the farmer woke up and heard the wind howling and the lightning, saw the lightning flashing and heard the thunder crashing. And he went outside to check, and the barn doors were all closed, and everything was very well taken care of. Everything was safe, put up as it should have been. There was nothing that was out of order. And he went back in, and the hired hand was laying there sleeping soundly. He realized what he meant by that. If we do things right, if things are, if all the bases are covered, we know that we can rest. Our spiritual life should be very much the same way. We should try to keep our bases covered in a way that if we woke and there was the eastern sky had opened and the Lord is coming, there'd be no regrets, no need to wake up and be concerned when the storm comes in that way. That's a challenge to me, to look at the way that I can rest in that way. That's the way we want to rest in the Lord. Okay, so why do we work? What's the reason for work? Is it something we should be doing? Is it something... thought of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. It says, "Let him that soul steal no more, but rather let him labor with his hands, labor working with his hands at the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth." Surely there's no thieves among us. I mean, probably all of us have at times taken something, and I know I have. We were growing up, we'd like to go in the pantry sometimes and kind of see what we could find that looked tasty, especially after a shopping trip. If my mom had went on a shopping trip and go in there, and one of my brothers was in there, and it just so happened one of the others was outside the window. There was a pantry window, so you could open it and drop something outside and go out and get it. Well, he came around, and the item that he dropped was no longer there. Someone else had seen it come out the window and went and picked it up. But that's really that may be a humorous story, but really it's theft. It is taking things that are not ours. It's really stealing. So I have stolen. I have done that. So Let us labor with our hands that we may have to give rather than to take. We may have to give much rather than to take. It's more blessed to give than to receive, the Lord has said. Okay, and to have to give is one reason for hard work. It's one good reason that we can work is so that we have to give. If we're working, if we go about our day's work with that thought in mind, I'm making some money so that I know of this need or I know of that need wherever it's at. I know there's a need. I want to work. I want to get some extra hours in if I need to. You know, that's the kind of attitude that we should have as we work, rather than. Well, many times it's so easy for us to, you know, we could look at it in a big way, we could look at it in a small way. There's this farm coming up for sale, and I'd just really like to have that. That would be such a nice additive to what I already have. Or we could look at it and say, you know, I really would just like to have, what is it, you name it, whatever you might desire to have. If I work an extra couple hours, I could afford that. I know myself, in my teen years, I did that way too much. And I'll tell you what it does. We were at an auction once, and they had this little crossbow and these little plastic arrows about 12 inches, about a foot long, but they really shot really fast. And it was actually a dangerous little toy, but I wanted that thing. I really wanted that thing. When the auction came around to that, I bid on it and I bought it. I think I was maybe 12 years old, I'm not sure. I spent all the money I had, I think. $10, I think, is what I gave for that thing. I was so happy with that. I finally got just exactly what I wanted. Well, I took that thing home that evening and started playing with it. This is going to be so much fun. Went out in the yard and I shot it. It had two arrows with it. Shot it and the arrow slipped underneath the grass, hunted and hunted and hunted for that arrow and could not find it anywhere. Did the same thing with the second one. Lost both arrows, and now I just blew $10. All the money I had, I just wasted it. I kept that thing around for a long time, and it was a reminder. It was a reminder to me. It would have been so much more satisfying to put that money in the kingdom than to waste it like that. But you know, all of us do that. I think all of us have done that, or many of us have. Maybe there's a few that don't, but God bless you for that if you don't. But there's so many things that we can do to consume on our own lust like that, that are really not good enough a reason to work. Though the Lord has spoken to us to work, let's continue on looking at some of the things that, some of the scriptures that He's taught us. In 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 10, it says, "For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat." That was one that my mother quoted many times. I wasn't a very willing worker when I was young. I was quite lazy. And that's why I can speak from my own. That's where I can speak from is from my own stories, my own life. We had an acre of cucumbers when I was growing up. I don't remember which year that the pickle station then closed, but we always had cucumbers, and I knew we didn't have a lot of extra money. I didn't realize at that time how my parents were struggling just to make a living. My dad had had a bad accident and was nearly killed in a power takeoff accident, and he had lived in a lot of pain. He still lives in some pain, not as much at times. I guess it gets older as he gets worse as he gets older. My mother had polio when she was young, and I look back at some of those things, and I wish I would have done a little better than I did, or a lot better actually. Here they had these, both of them had a physical problem, and we didn't work as hard as we should have in picking those cucumbers. We were lazy, and our work ethic wasn't really all that good, and yet we would finally, after a lot of just simply sitting around or not getting things done as we ought to have. We finally got all those cucumbers picked every other day, but we could have made it a lot more enjoyable. I guess that's a children's lesson for this morning, a second children's lesson. Children, if there's work to do, let's not do it slowly or carelessly. But yes, just examples from my own life in working, learning how to work that I should have learned a little more than I did probably. And 2 Thessalonians again, in chapter 3, verse 11, "For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing." So, looking at that one, it's just another challenge to work, but not be weary in well-doing. We can do our work in one way or the other. We can do it in well-doing, or we can do it in a selfish way, as I said there. Again, whatsoever you do it heartily, as unto the Lord and not unto men. John 6, verse 27 says, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed." How do we look at the meat that perisheth versus the meat that doesn't perish? Labor not for the meat that perisheth, but for the meat which endureth. The unselfish things that we do for our siblings, our family, or what about for our church? Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that which endureth. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. It's been said many times, been quoted. That is a very important one there. In John 6, verse 28, he says, "Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent." This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. And if we believe, it naturally follows that we will do. So we can look at all, the commands that the Lord has given us, and we say we believe God. We believe all those commands, and that would then create in us a desire to do. Okay, so I'd like to try to balance things out a little bit as well. If we have just simply are working all the time, and we do have good work ethic, but we don't have a balance in the whole thing. As I mentioned before, covetousness or whatever it is that can come in, it can really, there's a lot of destruction that can come on our lives because of that. So let's look at Matthew chapter 19, verse 23. "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." And Titus, 1 Timothy 6, verse 9, "But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition." Our money needs to be available for God. We can't hold it in a tight hand. Our money needs to be available to God. However, there's a great need to learn to be diligent in our work. Diligence is another subject that I would like to look at just a little bit, and Proverbs talks about that a lot. We could go through Proverbs. Let's go through Proverbs there. Chapter 10, verse 5 is one verse there. "He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame." I missed one there. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4 is "He becometh poor that dealeth with his slack hand, but he that But the hand of the diligent maketh rich. He becometh poor that dealeth with his slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. And again, Proverbs 12:27, the slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious. A diligent man has some substance, and it's precious if he uses it the way the Lord has called him to use it. Another experience of mine, I guess, and this is the slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious. Used to be there was quite a number of garbage dumps in our area. They've along the side of the road, on especially on the hills. For some reason, it was a place in the woods, and people decided to just throw their garbage out, and there was lots of it. And quite a few of the ridge hills that are in the area here, the hillside was just strewn with garbage all the way down to the valley. And we would really enjoy going down there and picking up one man's junk and make it another man's treasure. So one time we were doing so just during deer season, and someone had thrown a deer into one of those places with just the tenderloins cut out in the back, just skinned the top open and cut the tenderloins out and throwing it away. And I thought of that as a slothful man. He went out hunting. He had all the fun. All his fun was probably had, you know. And he didn't even want his deer. He was too lazy to take care of his own, what he took in hunting. I have no idea who that was. But I can imagine about what the rest of his life was like. If he was careless. He didn't care about the food that he had just gotten. Just throw it away. If we're careless in the food that we have, just throwing it out. We've talked about that different times, even just in the fellowship meal here. Putting the food on our plate and eating what's there. If we think about the children, not only children, there's people, even in Turkey where we have missionaries working this morning. There is many people that are nearly starving. They're very thankful for rice. If there was some of that deer meat to go with that, they would be very thankful. Let's be thankful for what the Lord has given us here, and let's be diligent in taking care of it. Okay, the Proverbs 13, verse 4, the soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. 21, verse 5, the thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but of everyone that is hasty only to want. Proverbs 22:29, seest thou a man diligent in business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men. 27, verse 23, be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks, and do well and look well to thy herds. That's one that we could apply very close to home. Children, some of you, some of us, older children, we have chickens at home. We have flocks. We have herds. We have maybe whatever our charge is to keep, to be in care of. How well are we doing it? I wonder at times with the animals that I see. Sometimes I wonder if there's people that, well, they forgot to feed the whatever animal it is. We forgot to do that. Well, it's late, and we'll just do it later. We'll do it tomorrow. And it seems some animals that I've seen come in there at the shop, it looks like that has happened quite a number of times. Maybe that it's just somewhat forgotten. Let that not be named among us that we aren't diligent with our flocks, with what we've been given. Okay, so something in diligence that I think we could bring home to here a little more. Does the Lord approve of going from one job to the next without learning how to enjoy the thing that our hand finds to do? You know, I've worked this job for a whole year or a whole month. Whatever it is, that's the same old thing. I'm getting tired of this job. I have to do it every day. It's so boring out there. It's just, there's nobody else. We can find all kinds of reasons. But seest thou a man diligent in business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men. Or before careless men, maybe we could say. So, that being diligent in business is something that is of utmost importance to us. The reason that this diligent man is going to be standing before kings, if I understand, if I'm thinking correctly on it, is because someone has taken notice of the diligence. This man is taking care of his one chicken. And he's taken such good care of it that someone has seen that. And, I think that fellow needs some more. He's very dependable. I think we could give him something else to do. He may be taking care of a whole flock of sheep. And as David was, so diligent in that, he was enjoying his work there. He was very diligent in seeking the Lord, making good use of his time there. We ought to do the same. And the Lord sees that. We can use that example of the crane again. If we're diligent, we will end up standing before kings. And we'll be able to stand before the King of Glory. And the Lord looks down and He sees, there's a diligent person. There's one that I have this work. I have a work for you. What work are we being called to? What work do we feel the Lord has called us to? And then the question would be, what are you doing toward that end, to work toward that end? Are you diligent? See, we find ourselves, I find myself at times thinking, if I was at that place, I'd be where I really want to be. I mean, if I could overcome this one problem in my life, this one thing in my life, then I think I'd be a pretty good Christian. I've done that. If I was only there, if I could do what that brother does, I could really be useful to the kingdom. But what am I doing to get to that place? What have I done this week that has been useful in my own family, my own home? What have I done that has been a blessing that no one has noticed, but I've just diligently went about and done it? What have I done in my work that no one noticed, that I really wouldn't have had to do? It would have been good enough without doing that extra little touch. Have I just simply decided I'm going to enjoy doing something that no one else really enjoys doing? I'm thankful for one thing in my growing up years, my experience. We had a bad septic system. It didn't ever work just exactly right, and there was always problems with it, and we dug it up many times in my growing up years. We had to dig it up and try to fix something. I'm thankful for having had to do that. Get some blisters on your hands digging up something that's very unpleasant. If you can do that, if we can learn to do that, there's a lot of things that are very unpleasant I find in my life. If I'd have never learned how to do the unpleasant things. Just recently thinking about that. If we don't learn to do those unpleasant things in our youth, we end up having a home of our own. We end up growing up and not having learned how to do that. And there's an unpleasant task that needs to be done. We could easily do it ourselves. We've never learned how to do it. But there's really no money, no extra money to pay someone to do it. What am I going to do? Am I going to just leave it and let things go downhill and just, well, things are getting worse, but it's just an unpleasant job. I'm just going to leave it. Can't afford to hire somebody to fix it. Why not rather just say, well, I'm going to do this as unto the Lord. I believe the Lord would have us take care. I believe He would want us to be good stewards of our things. I'm just going to go ahead and do this. I'm going to do it for the Lord. I'm going to do it for the benefit of my family, for the benefit of those that I invite into my home, or whatever it is. Let us Let us be diligent for that reason. It pays dividends in the kingdom. That kind of diligence reaches a long, long ways into our spiritual life, into our living as an example to Christ. Yeah, part of the burden that I have here is the things we see today. There's quite a number of jobs that we could do, and we go around, we begin working, or we get to the age where we can get a job and do something for a while, and I just don't really enjoy that work. I don't think I was called for that work. I think I should. There's a job over here that's available that I think would be a lot more fun. Something I always wanted to do was operate a dozer. I always thought that'd be fun. This big dozer, you sit there, and it's very easy. You just sit there and you run the levers, and beautiful landscape. You know, you flatten out a big hill or whatever you do, and this is just a lot of fun. Well, the day finally came when I got on a dozer, and I'm really going to do something. This is going to be just so nice when I get done. I drop the blade down, and it digs in, and the dozer spins out, and I'm sitting there spinning, and pull the blade up a little bit, big old ditch, and a big old ditch, and the tracks start going over that, and it gets worse, and it gets worse, and oh, this is no fun. I'm just going to quit. I can't do this anyway. Well, if I would have done that, I would have given up before I would have learned how. That's the way a lot of the things are. We give up before we learn how to do it. We give up before we have learned. Or maybe we know how to do it. It's just too boring for us. I don't know. Brother Abner, you've been to the mission field. You've been to quite a number of different places. Have you ever found yourself in a place if you wouldn't have learned how to stay with it on the tractor cutting hay? If you would have stayed there with it, I don't think so. I don't think you ever find a place that is so pleasant and so enjoyable that if we haven't learned how to stick to a job, that we can stay there and do it. The hard things come. Difficult things come. Oh, I thought the Lord is calling me to this, but I can't do it. I guess I made a mistake. I didn't hear from the Lord that time. Let's not do that. But yet, if we aren't willing to do that job that is very unpleasant, it's just so unpleasant. I just really would like to go and do something with new wood rather than old wood, rather than rebuilding an old house. I'd really just like to go and do something with new wood, just something new. Let's build a new house. It would look so nice. I could do all these things. I could make this nice looking house. I've never learned how to square up what was there, square up the old, how to fix up the old, and how to make the nice thing. So, yeah, and if we don't learn those things again, if we don't get that work ethic down in our physical life, everyday life that we're doing now, how do we expect to be useful in the kingdom? Yeah, okay, let's look at Matthew chapter 25. There's two parables in Matthew chapter 25. The first one is the 10 virgins, and the second one is the 10 talents. Both of them speak of diligence. Both of them speak of a much deeper thing than just doing what was talked about in these talents. But let's look at the second talent, the second parable in these parables, rather, the parable of the talents. Let's read down over it, Matthew chapter 25, beginning in verse 14. And let's read the first couple of words here, the kingdom of heaven. That's what Jesus was likening this to. Let's keep in mind, this is for the kingdom of heaven is like. This is what the kingdom of heaven is like unto. It's as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And we have that. That's a very much a reality. Our Lord Jesus has went to a far country to prepare a house for us. He says, if it were not so, I would have told you. So he's going, and he's given us these talents. He's delivered unto us his goods. And he says, occupy till I come. And unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. And straightway he took his journey. Immediately he left. He didn't take any time to teach them how to use these talents. He didn't take a bunch of time out and says, all right, now you, here's how you do it. You do this, 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 and this, and this is what I want you to do. Straightway he took his journey. He delivered them the talents, and he took his journey. Now we're left to decide what we're going to do with them. How are we going to handle these things that the Lord has given us? And verse 16, then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. Likewise also, he that had received 2, he also gained 2 other. But he that had received the 1 talent went and digged it in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received the 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 more talents. 5 talents more. Verse 21, and his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He shall stand before kings. The diligent man shall stand before kings. Verse 22, he also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. I was afraid, and I went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answering said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and to he that, and he shall have abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Very serious. Very serious thing to look at here. What are we doing with what the Lord has given us? What are we doing? Are we using everything? Are we using everything that the Lord has given us to his honor and glory? Or are we just simply doing our own thing? How busy are we about his business? This has been a real challenge to me, looking at these verses here in Matthew chapter 25. Let's go back over it again and see what we can gather from it. Sorry about that. I got the wrong paper here. Okay, I already talked about the kingdom of heaven. This is what it's like and like. And in verse 15, he gave 5 talents. I have seen men that were talented men that weren't talented men at one time. They weren't as good at preaching. I don't know that I'm good at it yet. I guess I need to practice some more on that. But just taking what the Lord has given us. What has the Lord given you? Do you have a little something that you could share with someone? What do you do? Do you have a little something you could share? It's really not that much. It wouldn't make any difference. I have this, but nobody's going to pay that much attention to it if I do share it. It's not going to make enough difference anyway. I want to wait till I have a lot, and then things will really go well, and people will notice, and I'll get some honor from it. People are going to notice me if I wait till I have a lot to give. But we see that taking that 1 talent and putting it away, not using it, not even collecting some interest on it, if you will, not even using it enough that there's some interest collected on it. is the Lord is going to come and take that one thing that you do have away if you don't use it. That's what I get from this. He says, unto everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. He had one talent. He had one thing he could have used, and I think he could have gotten the same reward. That's beautiful, just looking at that in itself. How that I may not have very much, but I give what I have. I'll do everything I can. I want to just do what I can. The same reward is awaiting for that person that doesn't have very much as that one that has a lot to give if he is diligent with the one, with the little that he has. Medina, I don't know if you remember or not. A few years ago, I had used you as an example for that. Medina has a lot to give. She has a voice, she can sing, and she knows a lot of songs. I want to bless you for that, Medina. It's a blessing to have someone that is giving what they can. You know, the same reward is waiting for you as for the most important person that you can think of. If he's diligent, if you're diligent, if you do what you can with that. Okay. Let's look at verse 19. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. It's not going to happen right away. That's why we don't give up. We don't leave our work. We don't leave our whatever we're doing, because it's going to be a long time. It's not going to be, well, I'm going to work for a day or two and then I'm going to get my reward. It's after a long time. We don't know how long it's going to be, but it's after a long time. The Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And we read in Scripture where there was another situation like this. The Lord came and he found them beating the men servants, drunken. The picture was very different there. We have the choice to make. What are we going to do with the talent that the Lord has given us? What are we going to do? He reckoneth with them, and there was, these things were brought, these gifts or these talents were brought back with honesty. They were brought back with honesty. He didn't come, the one with five didn't come and say, well, I got your money here, here it is. And didn't say anything about the five that he gained from it. Lord, I realize that what you've given me, I've been able to increase. Because of you. You gave it to me. I've been able to increase it because of you. It's rightfully yours. I give it all to you, Lord. I give it all. Here's five. You get 10 out of it. Here's two. You get 4 out of it. The Lord has given us what we have. So let's remember, when we're out doing our work, doing the things that seem so small, seem so little, such an unimportant thing. The Lord has given us that work. Let's make 4 out of it. Let's make 2 out of it. Let's make what we can out of it. It's a challenge to me. Okay, so we've looked at a lot of things here, a lot of different ways of working, and I'm sure I've not balanced the whole thing out. But I really like what Proverbs has to say about. In Proverbs chapter 30, I came across this a few days ago. It says, two things have I required of thee, deny me them not before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies, give me neither poverty nor riches, feed me with food convenient for me. Not something rich, not something too poor, just a good even balance. Lord, I just ask these things before I die. The reason I want such a good balance is, lest I be full and deny thee, or say, who is the Lord? Or, lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. Let's balance things out. Let's strive for that balance. Let's seek to live a balanced life that is not, we're not so off a kilter on this side that we don't even need the Lord. We're self-sufficient. We're strong. We're able to do what we want to do. I don't need the Lord. We see that in our day. That's a very real thing, a very real thing that can come and steal away our love for the Lord. There's also that other, where we're so poor, so careless, maybe we should say. I don't know that we should look at it in terms of money in this, but maybe rather in a spiritual sense. If I'm so poor that I don't have to give, and I end up taking the name of my God and using it in a vain or a useless way, a way that really does God no benefit and doesn't do anybody else any good either. So, okay. Hebrews chapter 13. In closing here, I just liked what the benediction that the writer of Hebrews gave in the end of the chapter. We read that yesterday morning in family devotions, and I thought, that is so nice, just the way it just wraps it all up. Now, the God of peace, in verse 20 of Hebrews chapter 13. Now, the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. The God of peace is the first thing. He is a God of peace that brought again from the Lord, from the dead, our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. It's not that blood that has to go back. Hebrews talks quite a bit about the blood and the old sacrifice versus the new sacrifice, that blood that was sprinkled once for our sin, the blood that could never make the comers or the goers thereunto perfect, I think it says, the comers or goers thereunto perfect. And then that brings out the final verdict on this, the everlasting covenant, that blood of the everlasting covenant, that is the God of that peace that wants to make us perfect here and now to every good work. To every good work to do His will, not our own, but His will. Working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen and amen. That is what I would like to have. That Lord, that God, to make me perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight. I'd leave you with that. And trust that the Lord has given me these things. If we don't get anything else from what I shared this morning, I think it would be, I was trying to think what would be the most important thing that we could get, that I could get, I could take home with me. And that would probably be, as I'm working, as I do the thing that I have been employed to do, that I do that with diligence. That I do that as unto the Lord. And yes, I very much need the Lord to help me in the work that He's given me to do. I don't feel like I have time to reach around to the things that I should be doing sometimes. But I want the Lord to work. I want to use the talent that He's given me. And I want to make more out of it. So I challenge each one of us to do that. Now, we don't all have the same work. We don't all have the same gift. But we all can work. We all can do something for the kingdom. And that is the most important. The most important work that we can do is for the Lord. And obviously, to learn to be diligent, to be able to do that work, we have to learn it in a physical way. So, I'll leave you with those words this morning.